Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
To take control of the airwaves, talk about whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. That's the number if you want to weigh in. Again, 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
And Bonnie.
And coming out, we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff that we didn't actually get into yesterday, like the Department of Justice looking into having a domestic terrorism task force or something. I don't even remember the specifics now, but they're doing something like 2,700 investigations throughout the United States. Meanwhile, one of the military organizations, I don't even remember which one, probably multiple of them, are doing drills in, I think, North Carolina. I have to find all of those stories again because I had them up yesterday and don't have them now. But all kinds of weird things happening. They're testing out war games against, quote, freedom fighters.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep, man. That's right. I don't even know what's in the news today. I literally just woke up from a nap after we've been up since 6:30 this morning.
That's right. You had the decriminalization of psilocybin hearing this morning, right?
We did, yeah. Where New Hampshire, if this were to pass, would be the first state to pass psilocybin decriminalization through the legislative process. So Oregon has it for therapeutic, and, of course, they also decriminalized all drugs there.
Through last, ballot initiative.
Through ballot initiative. So it's not been done yet through actually having a legislature pass something.
So how did the hearing go?
Well, Bonnie, it was your first hearing. What was your assessment of the criminal justice committee that we sat in front of?
They asked a lot of questions, and I didn't feel like they were asking questions just to be obtuse or say this could never happen. At least only one of them was being that way, and he only spoke up one time. I feel like he maybe even felt outnumbered or something.
Was this one of the state reps or just someone who was there?
Oh, yes, the state reps. Sorry.
Was that annoying old dude?
Yes.
Of course it was.
Only the state reps can ask questions during public testimony.
Okay.
So for listeners that aren't familiar, in New Hampshire, every bill gets a public hearing. There's 800-plus pieces of legislation every year. There's, I think, 20-something, what they call committees. Each committee's got around 20 or so people on it, and they have to hear every single piece of legislation. So no matter how obscure, only if there's only one sponsor for the legislation, and this one, it had multiple sponsors. This is a bipartisan piece of legislation with both Republicans and Democrats behind it. And, you know, I think it seems more obvious that they're on the wrong side of history if they don't support this thing. I mean, just because we didn't have an overwhelming room packed full of people like you would on a marijuana bill, so it definitely hasn't gotten, you know, the level of just general kind of support that you would expect from, say, a marijuana decrim or a marijuana legalization bill would. When it does essentially the same thing as the marijuana decrim did back in 2017, which is to say it would make up to a certain amount of mushrooms, in this case 12 grams, I believe is the number, essentially a non-criminal act where if you got caught with it, they could take it and issue you $100 fine. But if you look at the statistics of what the police, I just checked Keene, I didn't look at any other police department, we live in Keene, New Hampshire. I just checked Keene. I asked them for the 2 years of statistics of marijuana arrests prior to marijuana decriminalization, so for 2015 and 2016, the full, you know, the 2 full years. And I asked for the 2 full years after, so 2018 and 2019. And I just wanted to know, what do the numbers look like? How many people were I asked specifically for ticketing or arrests after the fact, because you couldn't ticket prior to that.
And you can't arrest after the fact, right?
Only if it's like your third, if it's your fourth violation within 3 years, then they can arrest you in that case. Or if it's over the amount, right? So if it was a felony level amount or a misdemeanor amount, there's like 0.75 ounce. If you're above that, then they can arrest you.
Okay.
It literally went from like 76 arrests per year down to 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's impressive.
Yeah, so they're basically not, and those were probably, I didn't know what kind of arrests those were, but those were probably dealing-related things. So it basically went to nothing.
I can't imagine there are too many psilocybin arrests in
Far fewer, I would guess.
Yeah.
And the cop that gave testimony today, obviously,
the one cop.
In opposition of the bill to decriminalize.
But only one of them. Like, you know, there could have been a whole phalanx of police there, and it was just one dude from the drug task force at the state police.
Yeah, but he had to admit that they don't arrest people that often for this anyway.
Yeah, and he basically trotted out the, oh my God, more people are going to use it, and danger!
Our kids are going to use it. He said, my kids have already reported to me that there's already psilocybin mushrooms in the schools, which is very disturbing to me. I was like, snitches.
Which admits the failure of drug prohibition, right?
Yeah.
Drugs in the schools.
That was what the state rep responded, I think, when you emailed him. Bonnie said something like, well, propose to me how we're going to keep kids from doing this. And
no, he said, propose to me how we're going to keep kids from smoking marijuana, which makes no
completely
sense.
Completely off-topic.
Right.
Off-topic? Has nothing to do with anything.
But even the same argument, like, convince me how we're going to keep kids from doing this. I don't have to keep your kids from doing this.
Your
if
job,
you don't want
Dad.
Your kids doing it, yeah, that is your job.
And unfortunately, he didn't ask that today. If he would have asked me that today, that's exactly what I would have said. I would have said, do your kids drink alcohol? I mean, I don't have kids, but if I had kids, they wouldn't be drinking alcohol, and it's legal.
Speaking of alcohol,
responsibility.
I did bring that up in my testimony, where I pointed out that Professor David Nutt, who is essentially the former drug czar of the UK, came out a decade ago after he was canned from his job. He came out in favor of ending the war on drugs, which is interesting. Wish he would have done it while he was.
Why did
he
get fired? Because I read that today.
I don't remember that. That's a good question. But
he was the one who ranked the danger to the individual and the danger to society of all manner of different substances, from alcohol to shrooms to
And alcohol was almost, I think, actually it was, I think, at the top of that list. It was alcohol and then heroin. And then cannabis was, like, in the middle of the list. And at the bottom of the list, the very bottom, was mushrooms. And so I pointed that out, that this is considered less dangerous to society and the individual than even cannabis, which you guys already decriminalized. So it's safer. It's therapeutic. The guy who brought up the bill, the representative who sponsored the bill, the one who created it, he told a committee he was going to give them all the studies. So they got a lot to look at, right? There's a lot of information coming in. So I just reiterated, there's a lot of studies. The studies are growing. They're doing them on larger numbers of people. The FDA has approved these things. So it's safe. It's therapeutic. And it's already... Basically, I said, you guys just need to catch up with the New Hampshire Supreme Court, because there was an incredibly important court case that happened a year ago in December of 2020.
This was the one about using psychedelics for religious purposes, if
I
remember correctly.
Yeah, so I said, you guys just need to catch up with the Supreme Court at this point, because, I mean, as long as it's for spiritual or for religious purposes, it's legal to use psychedelic mushrooms in New Hampshire, according to a 4-0 decision, a unanimous decision by the New Hampshire Supreme Court. I mean, you want a reliable court decision, no dissenters. These people said, not only does New Hampshire protect your right to religion, as far as the Constitution of New Hampshire, you know, we got that, just like the U.S. Constitution does. But
New Hampshire's is a little stronger than the U.S. Constitution.
And the reason why it's stronger is because New Hampshire's Constitution protects, and that's what backed up this decision, it protects your right to worship in the way that you choose, which is much stronger language and very clear. Oh, yeah, so the U.S. Constitution, you can have whatever religion you want. But the Constitution
of New Hampshire...
But
can you practice that religion?
Right, the Constitution of New Hampshire says you can practice it as long as you don't disturb other people's peace.
And the state rep I don't know which state rep, I can't remember. A state rep asked Ian, after he made that point about the New Hampshire Constitution, he asked Ian, well, what about people who want to use it for non-religious purposes?
This was the same state rep, by the way, about that.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Define non-religious purpose.
Yeah, going to a party,
why is that religious experience? Some people believe that the entire universe is, you know, God.
I guess if you're taking it for the religious purpose at a party, then...
Well, maybe the kid didn't realize that he was about to have a religious experiment.
That's true.
Right? He's like, I'm just going to go to this party and eat some shrooms. Next thing you know, he's meeting God face to face or whatever. So what do you think about this bill passing? You think it's got good chances?
I'm optimistic. I mean, the people in that hearing, it wasn't just me and Bonnie. There were a few other people who spoke. It wasn't overwhelming numbers, but the only guy who was against it was the cop.
Makes me proud to be in New Hampshire. Coming up, we're going to talk about Jack Dorsey and his crypto defense fund, 603-283-6160.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, where your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to share your opinions. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, we're going to be talking about Bitcoin. Bitcoin Islands, Jack Dorsey setting up a crypto defense fund. I believe you have that story, Bonnie. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when I say Bitcoin, head on over to Bitcoin.com. Click Getting Started at the top of the page. Take a few minutes out of your day to learn about this important world-changing information. But if you do already know about it, you can find all of the news and headlines that are relevant to you at news.bitcoin.com. That's their news site. That's bitcoin.com.
There was actually some interesting Bitcoin bills today.
I had heard that, but I was skeptical because I was like, I feel like I would have known about that. But
well,
they were
not
sponsored by Keith Ammon, which is a pretty good Liberty guy.
He's a free stater.
So what were the crypto bills?
Well, we ran into Keith in the hallway, because that's a thing that you can do in New Hampshire, is you just, you know, if you go to the state house, you talk to reps. I mean, unless you really don't want to. Like, you have to try to avoid them, essentially, if you don't want to talk to a state rep.
Well, that's where they work.
Yeah, they're everywhere, and they're approachable. If you want to talk to one of them, you can just walk up and introduce yourself if they don't already know you. If they already know you, they're probably going to walk up and say hello. So we ran into Mike Sylvia, the founder, the creator of the New Hampshire independence legislation. He was there.
Nice.
He was actually introducing multiple pieces of legislation to reform civil asset forfeiture today. So there were some really good bills that were being heard, but the ones that Keith put in, and actually Bonnie and I disagree on these bills, but he was putting in legislation to, as he put it, catch us up with Wyoming. And in Wyoming, back in 2018, they passed a whole package of different pro-crypto legislation, basically. And one of the things that they allowed in Wyoming was crypto companies to essentially become banks. They have a certain wording for it. Like, there's a different term. They call it like a special depository institution. And it is essentially a crypto-approved bank. And that's the legislation. They basically took, you know, carbon copied the legislation from Wyoming.
Oh, nice.
And they put it in here in New Hampshire. He says he's not sure that all of them are going to pass, but another one he described.
That looks like it would be beneficial for the, I mean, considering that New Hampshire is a strong cryptocurrency community already,
yeah,
that would make it only stronger.
Well, the idea is to attract cryptocurrency businesses here, and what he explained was, as much as we libertarians don't want to see more laws created, unfortunately, corporations want that. They want to have a legal structure that says, it's okay, you can do this here. And
but
so
do we want the corporations?
Yeah, I just said...
Well, they hire people.
I didn't say I'm against this. I just said that just creeps me out to think of putting laws on the books for crypto. What does the government have any business regulating crypto at all?
I'm with you on that. I don't think that they should. I don't want to see more laws created as a general rule. However, I understand the reasoning for it. Here's another example. One of the three bills that he put in today.
He's a busy dude.
Yeah, well, they've got a bunch of them. One of them was to exempt digital assets or cryptocurrency from securities laws in New Hampshire. Now, they can't exempt...
I thought they already were.
If they were, then I don't think there'd be a need for this bill. But this basically makes it clear. Like, cryptocurrency assets are not securities in the state of New Hampshire if this bill goes through. That wouldn't change the federal level, obviously.
Not unless New Hampshire also secedes.
Right. But at least it makes a statement that this is what New Hampshire's government thinks. And the other one essentially treats digital currencies as property. It makes it clear that these things are property instead of some other kind of legal category. So that's my understanding of the three bills that were heard. It was in the afternoon, so we didn't actually attend those hearings. We headed home after about 1 o'clock. But hopefully,
I'd be very interested in seeing how these bills do. What happens after a bill is heard like this? What does the committee do?
Good question. From my experience in the State House, there's usually some delay between when the hearing happens and when the committee actually votes on the thing.
Okay.
So basically,
that's
they do
unfortunate.
Them, Well, not really. The reason why is they need time to think about it, really. I mean, unless you presume they've all made their mind up already and they don't care about what people say in the hearing, which I'm sure is true for some of them, but a lot of them, I think, honestly, are open-minded and willing to listen, in my experience. They ask good questions. You know, people who are asking questions are at least interested, right? They're interested
right.
in learning
And they're
something.
Paying attention. They're not pretending to listen.
Correct. So usually what happens is they have the public hearings on a set of bills, like on a day like today, and then they set a date for the day when they will have what's called the executive session on those bills. And at the executive session, they'll have whatever back and forth discussion between the reps. So at the executive session, you don't get to speak publicly, but you can still come and attend it. So
okay.
public hearings when they get the input from anybody who shows up, and then the executive session is where they discuss it, talk about potential amendments, vote on potential amendments, and vote whether or not to recommend the bill pass or recommend the bill be killed or called inexpedient to legislate. So that's going to happen probably at a later time, maybe next week, maybe a couple weeks from now. So I'm not sure when.
So if they call for the bill to pass,
mm-hmm.
does that increase its chances of actually passing the whole state house? Or?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
What they will do generally is they'll put a bunch of bills onto what they call the consent calendar, as I understand it, and that way the House can vote on these all of the bills all at once. Like, they just put a bunch of bills that should pass on what they call the consent calendar. I think they put bills that shouldn't pass on there as well, and then they vote all in one fell swoop, and they just take care of, you know, 50 bills at one time or something like that, based on what the committees say. Any state rep, however, can speak up and say, I want that bill pulled off the consent calendar and have its own House floor discussion. So that's something that we want to see happen with the New Hampshire Independence Bill. If they try to put it on a consent calendar, whether they're recommending to kill it or whatever, especially if they're... Maybe it only is if they're recommending to kill it. That I'm not sure of. I don't know if the consent calendar is only for killing bills or for both. So I'm not a 100... I'm not the best expert on answering
sure.
these questions, but...
So I suppose the idea is that the committee are full of the people who know this particular subject best, and if they say,
well,
hey, this is...
in theory.
Yeah, right. Obviously,
a lot of
none
times
of these
they're
people...
really ignorant.
I didn't understand why they were... assigned to specific committees. Like,
I don't know if it's something. I think that if they have the political sway, they can tell the, like, the person who's in charge of that, like, whoever. It's usually the committees are assigned by the Speaker of the House. So whichever party is running things, whoever's in the majority, so right now it's the Republicans, so the Republicans get to make the assignments to the committees.
But it,
so
it
it's
can't
political
be,
to some extent.
It just, I can't believe that it would be based off who is the most qualified to be in each committee.
No,
you were in the criminal justice one today, and they all had very easy-to-answer questions for, like, the cops. Do you get to keep the civil asset forfeiture money? So they're obviously, you know,
they
not...
they should have known.
Yeah,
right?
They would have known that if they were experts.
Yeah.
So what was the answer to that? Did the police departments get to keep it as it is?
Yes, 45% of it. And another 45% goes to the other police, which is the Attorney General's office.
Well, hopefully that changes as a result of these bills. I think you said Mike Sylvia introduced that.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, multiple civil asset forfeiture bills today.
Doing great work up there. 603-283-6160 if you want to join us. Well, you know what you think about decriminalizing psilocybin cubensis or rolling back civil asset forfeiture. We're going to talk about Jack Dorsey and his crypto defense fund. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
U.S. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Consumer Price Index jumping 7% for the year ending in December. The Bureau of Labor Statistics saying that's the biggest 12-month jump since June 1982. Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott tells Fox News people in his state are seeing higher prices.
I have parents that, you know, are saying, oh, do I put gas in the car? Do I put food on the table? I have more people that they're working at food banks that say people are coming in because they can't afford food. We see rents just going up like crazy. Electricity prices are up.
Cold weather is hitting the United States and natural gas prices aren't helping matters. They spiked by more than 13% on Wednesday. The price surpassing $4.80 per BTU. That's the highest it's been since November. And you're listening to USA Radio News. A medical helicopter crashed in front of a church in suburban Philadelphia on Tuesday.
A medevac helicopter carrying a child patient crash-landed outside Philadelphia Tuesday afternoon, but all four people on board are expected to survive in what officials called an absolute miracle. The crash took place roughly 1 p.m. near United Methodist Church in Delaware County on its way to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia from Maryland. Authorities said the passengers, the pilot, a crew member, a nurse, and an infant patient were able to pull themselves out of the completely destroyed helicopter. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
Hundreds of thousands of expired COVID test kits in Florida can still be used. The FDA recently granted the state's request to extend the kit's expiration date by another 3 months to March. The Division of Emergency Management has between 800,000 and 1 million test kits that originally expired in September. USA Radio News.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. We're here invited to weigh in with your thoughts and opinions. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to do that. That's 603-283-6160. With you tonight is Aria, Bonnie, and Ian. And Bonnie, you have the story about Jack Dorsey trying to set up a crypto defense fund. Now, Jack Dorsey was the CEO of Twitter. I think he stepped down.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, very recently.
And he's... I think he's a Bitcoin maximalist, if I remember correctly, but he's...
I think so.
It seems like it.
He promotes Bitcoin.
He does.
And Litecoin, though. So.
And he runs the Square Corporation still. He's still the CEO over at Square, which is a payments company, kind of like PayPal.
The Cash App.
Correct. And Cash App added Bitcoin purchasing... I don't know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. So it did a lot to expose new people to Bitcoin who'd never had easy access to it before. And
Cash App did it well.
Yeah, they did.
Where they will actually allow you to buy Bitcoin and then transfer it off of your Cash App.
You have to go through
a
your customer
wallet.
Process for that, but that's sure. To be expected from a centralized corporation.
But they didn't take the PayPal approach, which is, well, is this even Bitcoin? Because you don't have a way to prove it is or isn't, and you can't do anything with it.
Right, you can't. So, PayPal's keeping it in their system and not letting you remove it from their system. So
yeah, and
no
at
idea.
The moment you can't even use it to buy from other PayPal sellers. If I remember
I think
correctly,
you can. I think you can do that, but you can't. The seller cannot take the Bitcoin out of their account.
Yeah, all they can do is sell it back to PayPal. So there's literally no evidence that there's any Bitcoin in PayPal.
And they don't have any plans for changing that or anything?
I think they said, you know, it's something they're looking into, but they haven't said, yes, we're going to add this by the end of the year or anything like that. So I wouldn't expect them to change it.
Yeah, he's a Lightning advocate, Jack Dorsey, from what
Bitcoin
I understand.
Maximalist,
he's a maximalist. Yeah, Bitcoin Lightning, for listeners that don't know, is this super complex system that the Bitcoin programmers are building on top of Bitcoin to try to make it more scalable. But ultimately, all it does is really centralizes Bitcoin, and that's a bad thing. For those of us that understand...
It also confuses people.
Oh, yeah. But for those that understand the sort of the nature of what Bitcoin was supposed to be, which is decentralized... Adding centralization to that system is a bit of a turnoff. So I'm not a fan of the Lightning Network. And that's just me from having heard about it. Honestly, I've never actually tried it.
And luckily, there's just so many other options. You don't have to choose, oh, no, they're making Bitcoin centralized. You can just use Bitcoin Cash.
Or Dash. Or many others. Monero.
I've used the Lightning Network, and it's a thing. It does what Lightning Network advocates say it's going to do.
Does it? Because I've heard it fails a lot.
I never had it fail, but it was tremendously
unwieldy.
What
was the amount you sent?
Oh, it was something negligible, like 0.01 Bitcoin, which at the time would have been, I don't know, 30 or 40 bucks.
The smaller the amount, the more likely it is to succeed, as of the statistics I've heard about.
The more likely it is to succeed as
yes.
it gets smaller?
That's
correct.
Scary.
That's bizarre.
So it's more likely to fail as it gets larger.
I also had to permanently, or at least semi-permanently, lock in some amount of Bitcoin as collateral in order
That's
to...
That's the part that really...
It got so confusing.
Yeah.
Absolutely useless.
I just don't understand why they would want to make it more confusing.
Because they don't think it's confusing. To them, it's this thing that solves the problems that Bitcoin has, and they don't even understand at this point because they've been doing it for so long. Or, more likely, they've never actually used it to try to make a payment anywhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. These are computer geeks who cannot relate to the average person.
And they don't spend their crypto anyway.
Well, there's that. But the average person getting into Bitcoin is already a confusing process. It's already...
Sure.
You know, you've got to learn some new stuff. And some people, they're not so good at learning new things, especially when it comes to technology.
Now, I think the average person can wrap their minds around the Exodus wallet or the Edge wallet or Konami or whatever. But when they have to move that to this other thing and establish a connection to this node, but that node can't communicate with this node, that's way beyond the capabilities of the average person.
Yeah.
I remember when Ian was in jail, for some reason I just wanted to learn about it because I heard about it and I was wondering, oh, my friends complain about, like, I always hear nobody complaining about Bitcoin being not scalable and slow and expensive. Don't any of my friends ever talk about the Lightning Network? So I was like, I'm going to learn about it. I have nothing else to do because my boyfriend's in jail. And it was just so complicated, I just gave up.
Yeah, it's not user-friendly.
The only guy who ever talks about it is Chris Reitman. He is co-founder of the Bitcoin Embassy here in town.
I think he gave up talking about it. He never talks about it.
He couldn't convince anyone.
He got me to use the Lightning Network. I don't even remember now what website it was, but you could...
The pizza site, right?
Yeah, you could buy pizza with Bitcoin by using the Lightning Network. I was like, all right, cool. I'll check it out. But it was so limited.
Like,
in what
barely
it could
customizable.
Offer you.
Yeah.
It's like you had to get this one specific deal. You couldn't tip more than this amount, and you could only get two toppings for a pizza. And it was like,
what?
Or you can just
now,
go
that's
to...
That's not the Lightning Network's fault. That's just whoever programmed that website.
Yeah.
It was a proof of concept at that time.
It was a pizza store in Keene?
Yeah.
That was using the Lightning Network?
Actually.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
But it was a front end.
Yeah, it was an interface that someone made that would place the order for you using the Domino's website. So it wasn't like... Domino's was accepting Lightning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you were paying them, and then they were paying Domino's, and, you know.
And then it turned out that the mechanism behind it was just them using gift cards in order to complete the payment at Domino's, which,
sure.
Okay, but at that point, why wouldn't I just go to giftcard.bitcoin.com and get my own gift card?
Yeah, well, the point was to use the Lightning Network.
Yes.
That's the point of it.
But there
make it more complicated.
Yeah, add steps.
There were easier
process.
Ways I could have done this, more effective ways where I could have actually gotten what I wanted and handled the actual transaction myself.
Isn't it Dash that also has where you can buy gift cards with Dash?
Yeah, and I really wish I could try it out.
Yeah, because they're doing like some sort of, you get discounts or something for buying the gift cards.
Yeah,
I just always forget about it.
I am, you know, as you are, Aria, prohibited under some ridiculous bail conditions in the Crypto 6 case where the government raided our studio last year, prohibited from using crypto, so I cannot install the Dash Direct app on my smartphone and actually use it, where they essentially have created some sort of a front end to make it easy to purchase gift cards with the Dash cryptocurrency, and apparently you do it at the point of sale. And I was listening to Free State Live, which is the Monday night show competes with us, that some of the Free Staters are doing here in New Hampshire.
They really call themselves Free State Live?
Yeah. Okay. It actually came to me.
They said it as a joke at first, and then they tagged Ian. Right?
No, they didn't say it on air first.
Not on air. They joked about it on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't know that. But what I knew was they came to me and asked me, hey, is it cool if we use the name Free State Live? And I said, yeah, of course.
Totally. Yeah, that's awesome. Do it.
And so they did that.
No, we're going to sue you for violating our intellectual property.
I mean, it was nice of them to do that, but they didn't have to. They had Joel Valenzuela on the show this week, and he's always an interesting interview because he lives his life on crypto. He has not touched a dollar in, I don't know, 5 years or something like that.
Where does he live?
He lives on the seacoast. Hmm? Sadly, he should have moved to Keene, but he lives in the second best area for crypto spending.
That's fair.
And so he's a big Dash advocate. He does some work for Dash, so he gets paid in Dash, so he loves to spend it. And the Dash Direct app sounds very, very interesting because it lets you choose from, you know, mega companies, right, like big corporations. I forget what the listing includes, but it's, you know, companies you've heard of,
sure.
And then you at the register, they give you the total that they want to get from you. You type that into the app, and then you pay the invoice with Dash, and you've got a gift card. He makes it sound very, very smooth. I, again, haven't tried it, don't know for sure what it's like, but it's an interesting theory. And they're coming out with some sort of a KYC, or without KYC free, meaning without KYC debit card, and I don't know how that's going to work.
That sounds interesting.
It sounds too good to be true.
Which means it could be too good to be true. But Dash is doing interesting things, and I'm with you. I wish I could experiment and play with these things. Most of my cryptocurrency usage for places like Walmart and stuff like that was just buying gift cards, usually from, I think, Bitcoin.com was one of them, and there was another one that I used frequently.
Oh, and the key is the Dash Direct actually gives you a discount. So are you getting a gift card, paying with a gift card sort of through the back end of this Dash Direct app, but you might save 3% or 4% or something like that.
I wish I could play with it, because it sounds fun. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. Have you ever bought a gift card with cryptocurrency or used the Lightning Network? Let us know.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Well, you're invited to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. Funny, you have a story about Jack Dorsey. That's the former CEO of Twitter and current CEO of Square. What exactly is he doing?
What is he doing, Bonnie?
Well, Cointelegraph says that Jack Dorsey announces a Bitcoin legal defense fund. And the fund will help to provide a defense for Bitcoin developers and will include a team of volunteers and part-time lawyers. So maybe not people who are currently getting indicted by the federal government for Bitcoin-related
Bitcoin-related, so, like, he wouldn't help out Jeremy Kaufman, who is the CEO of Library?
I don't know. Sometimes I forget that the word Bitcoin doesn't mean crypto, so I kind of read that, and my brain translated it to crypto, so now I'm realizing it does say Bitcoin developers. So
yeah,
maybe
it depends who you're talking to. I mean, to some people, Bitcoin is the Kleenex of cryptocurrency, meaning that people will sort of use the term Bitcoin when they're talking about a variety of different cryptocurrencies. Sort of like in the South, you might say Coke, but you mean something else.
I haven't encountered that yet with cryptocurrency. I haven't had anyone to say, hey, I want some Bitcoin, and then or whatever, and then it turns out they actually wanted, you know, Dash or something.
That's true, but some people will say Bitcoin and they'll mean Bitcoin Cash or Bitcoin SV or something like that.
Or they'll say, like, are you into Bitcoin? But they really mean all crypto.
Yeah.
But I don't think people say, I want some Bitcoin. No, Monero Bitcoin. Yeah.
But will one day, I'm sure.
I bet that that's true. But I think in this case, I think he really is just talking about Bitcoin, because it goes on to say, former Twitter CEO and Block founder Jack Dorsey has announced plans to create a Bitcoin legal defense fund with Chaincode Labs co-founder Alex Morcos and Martin White, who appears to be an academic from the University of Sussex. The announcement was sent on a mailing list for Bitcoin developers, bitcoin-dev, at blah, 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 Wednesday morning.
Are Bitcoin developers, is there any history of them ever being in legal trouble?
In this situation, I don't really know.
And are they only going to be protected in regards to Bitcoin-related lawsuits, or are they just going to be protected in general because they're Bitcoin, so if somebody sues them for, I don't know, they've slipped and fell on a patch of ice at their house, are they going to, I mean, obviously this isn't going to come into play, or I would think it wouldn't come into play there, but yeah, I agree with you, Aria. What is the use case
here? Well, okay, it says here that there are people who are currently the subject of multi-front litigation. It says the announcement stated the fund will help provide a legal defense fund for Bitcoin developers who are currently the subject of multi-front litigation.
I had never heard of this, but it doesn't give examples of who that might be.
Litigation and continued threats are having their intended effect. Individual defendants have chosen to capitulate in the absence of legal support, the email stated, referencing open source developers who are often independent and therefore susceptible to legal pressure. Quote, we propose a coordinated and formalized response to help defend developers.
Okay.
I don't know. Good. The only example of this I'm finding is going to be stuff related to Craig Wright,
who's suing a bunch of people in a bunch of different courts.
I mean, he's probably the main threat to this.
Maybe that's what this is all about. Maybe this is, without saying it, targeted at defending people who have been attacked by Craig Wright, who can't afford it. Because your average Bitcoin developer might have been late to the game. They don't have a large wallet of Bitcoin from which to pay very expensive attorney bills. So this, you know, it could be a killer if they get targeted by one of these frivolous lawsuits.
Yeah, and Craig Wright, he has plenty of money. If nothing
yes, he
else,
does.
He has plenty of money to throw at people in the court system.
And he is litigious and likes to do that stuff.
Correct.
The announcement went on to describe the Bitcoin Legal Defense Fund as a nonprofit entity that aims to minimize legal headaches and discourage software developers from actively developing Bitcoin and related projects.
So it does sound like he's willing to include related projects, at least, which doesn't just mean Bitcoin developers.
Okay. Yeah,
it could also mean Bitcoin Cash developers. I doubt it.
I suspect they'll be judicious about who they dole this out to. But it seems still like a positive development.
I think it is just Bitcoin, actually. I mean, I don't know why it says and related projects, because here it says, the main purpose of this fund is to defend developers from lawsuits regarding their activities in the Bitcoin ecosystem, including finding and retaining defense counsel, developing litigation strategy, and paying legal bills.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's still a step in a good direction.
Sure.
It's unfortunate that it's only helping Bitcoin people, but it's still a good thing. I think anyone who's working on Monero probably has a higher need of a legal system or a legal defense fund than the people working on Bitcoin.
Hmm. I don't think anyone working on Monero, with the exception of Fluffy Pony, who was the head of development for a time, or at least their biggest spokesperson, he was targeted by, I think it was the FBI, maybe it was Interpol. Somebody came after him and brought him up on criminal charges for some BS when he was traveling in Africa. But with the exception of him, there hasn't been any real targeting of Monero because no one knows who their developers are.
Oh, nice. Even the developers are anonymous. That's good news.
Yeah.
Okay. Good for them.
I don't know. I generally support this. I don't know what else there really is to say about why, unless they give us some specific cases.
Oh, I found one. That's what I was looking for in here. According to the email, the fund's first project will be to take over the existing defense of Ramona Ng's Tulip trading lawsuit against developers for alleged misconduct over access to a Bitcoin fortune. So Ramona Ng, A-N-G.
I've never heard of it. What? Something about tulips, you said?
It's in quotes. It's the nickname for the lawsuit is the tulip trading lawsuit.
Interesting. I've certainly never heard of that, but that's not all surprising. There's a lot happening in the cryptocurrency world and in the Bitcoin world.
Okay. Ramona Ng is the wife of
Craig Wright.
Dr. Craig Wright. According to CoinGeek, which is, by the way, a pro
with
Craig
ex-wife?
Wright, just as the wife. I don't know if she's an ex by now, but
because remember her and the ex-wife were working on something. It almost sounded like they were suing Craig Wright, and I was like, wait, the ex-wife and the current wife are suing Craig Wright? How is that possible? Remember, yeah. That was when we talked about her before.
Story here is from November of 2020, so it's certainly possible that she has become the ex-wife of Craig Wright in the last year. I don't know. But at the time when this was written, and this is just, for the record, this is coming from a website that is all all about Craig Wright. This is a pro-Craig Wright propaganda site. It's called CoinGeek.com. All they ever write about is Bitcoin SV and Craig Wright, which is Craig Wright's pet Bitcoin project.
I did not know that about them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever even been to CoinGeek.com, so that's not terribly surprising.
They say the High Court in the UK has found in favor of Ramona Ang, who's the wife of Craig Wright, in her case against Reliant Co. Investments Limited, the Cyprus-based owner of a trading platform called UFX. She was a customer of the exchange and had great success trading on it, turning an investment of $200,000 into about $700,000, at which point the company blocked her account, initially without providing clarity as to why her account was blocked. She tried a number of arguments in order to justify its decision to ban the account and effectively seize hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of money from it. Reliant Co.'s argument was that Ang's account was actually being operated by Dr. Wright in contravention of their terms of service. They'd also argued that she had deliberately submitted incorrect information as part of their KYC process. But does that mean they get to keep your money? Like if you...
I would assume not.
Finally, they argued that the account was ultimately closed because the company had discovered that Ang was married to Dr. Wright, which they then claim is the inventor of Bitcoin, because, again, it's a pro-Wright website.
Right. Which,
propaganda.
There's no evidence that he was actually the inventor of Bitcoin.
So,
and that the gains she had made were indicative of insider trading. Wow, those are pretty ridiculous. And the court did reject all three arguments, saying that Ang is entitled to the money and also unrealized gains from that time. So... maybe there's another case that this woman is involved with now, because it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, Bunny said it was called the Tulip Trading Case. I've never heard of it.
There's a link here.
They didn't mention...
they didn't mention tulips in here, that's for sure.
They didn't. I've actually got something here from April of last year.
Okay.
So, Tulip Trust trustee Ramona Ang has sued Ira Kleiman.
This is the case we've discussed.
I thought that was Craig Wright suing Kleiman.
It is. I think it's the rights in general.
They just like suing people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really seem... I mean, they're delusional, and they have evidently almost infinite amounts of money to throw at this.
Yeah.
Because they were ordered to pay some huge amount of money recently.
Mm.
And instead of being humbled by that, Craig Wright walks away going, yes, this was a victory. So
They're
litigious. They have too much money. And you know what they say? A fool and their money will soon be parted. He's doing everything he can to burn his money.
Well, good for Jack Dorsey for coming up with some legal money for these folks who are getting targeted by frivolous lawsuits.
603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. What do you think about Craig Wright? He's obviously not Satoshi, but why is he so litigious? It's Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. Advertise at GCNlive.com.